Antayanadriya Balaharidasa Varjo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parisa Pamoda Manom Tanoti Sago Ganayostiyo Yad Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandara Mulai. The next two verses will end the words of the gopis as they glorify Krishna's flute in the mood of Purva Rag. This verse, as the last verse didn't specifically glorify the flute, but just the power of Krishna to induce strong conjugal feelings in everyone, and the power of even indirectly associating with Krishna to reducing that fever. So this verse talks about the best of the devotees. Now this, each of these verses are spoken by different gopis, and not clear who has spoken, not directly clear who has spoken many of the verses. The last one we know isn't spoken by Srimati Radharani. If the Dayate Standa Mandatena Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's about Srimati Radharani, so it clearly wouldn't be spoken by her. But this verse, this 18th verse about Giriraj Govardhan, we do know is spoken by Srimati Radharani. And how do we know that? Because in one of Raghunath Das Goswami's prayers, he says that this verse emanates from the moon-like mouth of Srimati Radharani. So we know that she is the gopi who's speaking this. Hantayan Adri. Oh, Hanta. Oh, this Adri, this hill. Abala, oh friends, is Haridasa Varja, the best of all the servants of Lord Hari. Haridasa Varja, the topmost servant of Lord Hari. This hill, meaning Giriraj Govardhan. So Srimati Radharani is speaking of Giriraj as the topmost servant of Krishna, because Giriraj is able to serve Krishna in so many wonderful ways and completely offer himself to Krishna. So why is he the best servant of Krishna? Yat Rama Krishna Charanas Parisha Pramoda. Because when touched by the charana of Rama and Krishna, then this hill feels pramod, jubilant, topmost happiness. Something that they feel that they are not able to experience because they don't get the touch of Krishna's feet. Manam tanoti sago ganayosteyo yat. He offers the greatest respect, manam. Offers the greatest respect when to the Lord. By how? By paniya suyavasa kandara kandara mulai. By making many, many different offerings. Each of the different, perhaps someone could ask the people outside to speak somewhere else. Each of them is offering what they are able to offer. So what is Giriraj able to offer? He's offering his respect and affection to Krishna and Ram by offering service. How? Paniya, water. Pani, pinaka pani, drinking water. Suyavasa, so who needs drinking water? Everyone needs drinking water. The cows to the cowherd boys, to Ram and Krishna themselves, and all the living entities, and they have to drink water. And suyavas means very, very, very soft grasses. Who needs the soft grasses? the cows especially, and the other animals that graze around Govardhan Hill. And just so Giriraj is so happy to serve, not wishing to take, but just happy to serve all the ones who are dear to Krishna. Kandara, Kandara Mulai. Kanda Mulai means roots. Different roots that are edible, useful in different season. When the cowherd boys are hungry, they can just pull out some roots from the ground and enjoy offering them to Krishna and enjoy eating them. And Kandara, caves are very important in Govardhan, because in the rainy season, thunder is striking, or the lightning is striking, and the thunder is rumbling, and the rain is pouring down. So where are the cowherd boys and Krishna going to get protection and relief? They get relief from the great rains in the wonderful caves of Giriraj Govardhan. So they go in there and they get shelter. And when it's very cold, they get relief in the caves. And it's when it's very, very, very hot, the caves are very cool, so they get relief in the caves. And also, when Krishna and the gopis want to enjoy their different pastimes, they also enjoy them in the caves of Giriraj Govardhan. So the caves of Govardhan are especially wonderful. So this is another service that Giriraj offers Krishna during his leelas. Here is the translation, and then Prabhupada's, well, not Prabhupada's, but the purport here is mostly, the translation comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best, Haridas Savaraja. All my friends, this hill supplies Krishna Balaram along with their calves, the cows and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord, makes its offerings to the Lord. Its offering, Govardhan is offering whatever it possibly can. And see how unfortunate Srimati Radharani feels herself. And the gopis feel themselves. We can't offer anything to Krishna. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram as they're wandering there. Every day Krishna and Balaram will go to Giriraj. And what would they do there? They'd herd the cows there. The sight of so many wonderful pastimes, all the different rasas are being served there. Not all of them, especially Sakiras and the conjugal rasa are served at Giriraj. So many different pastimes. Passageways are provided by Giriraj where and different lakes. There's the Dunkelly pastime where Krishna tries to extract taxes from the gopis and the gopis end up retaliating and tying Krishna and all the cowherd boys to different trees. And Dandavartana Kund is there and so many kunds are there, and Govinda Kund and Sarabi Kund and Arivata Kund. And so many, so Giriraj has provided all these different facilities for the pastimes of Krishna. What to speak of Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, around it, Shankarshan Kund, and Gauri Kund, and these are all mentioned by Rupa Goswami, or Raghunath Das Goswami, I think, in his prayers to attain residence at Giriraj Govardhan. Because Giriraj is very, very merciful, because it's serving. Giriraj's desire is just to serve, to serve, to serve, to serve, to serve all the devotees and facilitate what? Facilitate their service to Krishna. So the cows get their food from Giriraj. The cows drink a lot of water. If you've ever dealt with cows, you know they have to drink a lot of water every day. So the water is provided by Giriraj, and the soft, soft grass is very tender and tasty. Grass is provided by Giriraj. And what service is that? Because Krishna loves the cows, so automatically if one feeds the cows, then Krishna is very, very happy, because if one wants to please Krishna, one pleases the beloveds of Krishna. So Giriraj is just offering to everyone who is serving Krishna. So the grass is used for feeding the transcendental herds. And then from the cows, milk comes. And the milk is used for so many offerings to Krishna. Govardhan also has grass. We stopped at the water. When Krishna and Balaram used to wash their feet and mouths, there's waterfalls. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the opulence of Govardhan Hill as follows. Paniya refers to the fragrant cool water from the Govardhan waterfalls, which Krishna and Balaram drink and use to wash their feet and mouths. Govardhan also offers other beverages such as honey, mango juice, and pilu juice. Suyavas indicates durva grass used to make the religious offering of argya, mouthwash. Govardhan also has grass that is fragrant, soft, and conducive to the strong growth of cows and increased production of milk. Thus this grass is used for feeding the transcendental herds. Kandara refers to the caves where Krishna Balaram and their friends play, sit, and lie down. These caves give pleasure when the weather is too hot or too cold or when it's raining. Govardhan also features soft roots for eating. Does anyone like to eat roots? Are there any root eaters here?
Yes.
Carrots.
Sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes. What other roots?
Beetroot.
Peanuts. What else? Regular potatoes, not only sweet potatoes. None of these are offered to
Jagannath.
No, Jagannath. Anything.
Because they come from the licorice.
But also because they're considered to grow in the ground. So that means they're not touched by sunlight and tending towards ignorance.
Brinjal.
That doesn't grow.
Brinjal is not offered to Jagannath.
Oh, yeah, but it's not a root.
No, because it's coming from the road.
White brinjal.
Tomatoes is not offered.
Muli also is a root.
Radish.
That's what actually, mul means root. Muli.
Tapioca.
Is tapioca a root?
Yeah.
No, there's supposed to be one offered, chili and
aloo. Not offered. You're saying not offered or offered?
Offer chili, aloo, brinjal, and tomatoes.
And also
potatoes
and carrots.
Also.
And even in the Gaudiya Mat, they didn't take carrots. Previously. Very strict Brahmani type of people. In Radharaman, they don't offer these things either. But at the other temples that run by the Radharaman Goswamis, they offer.
Besides
Yeah.
So it increases tamas in the body?
That's the idea, because they're not touched by the sun. They're under the ground. Govardhan, the caves give pleasure when the weather is too hot or too cold, or when it's raining. Govardhan also features soft roots for eating, jewels for ornamenting the body, flat places for sitting, different wonderful sitting places, rocks in wonderful configurations, and lamps and mirrors in the form of smooth stones, glistening water, and other natural substances. Well, here, it's mostly contained in the purport. Let's see. Let's see if Vishwanath's comment has anything additional that wasn't included. The gopis talk amongst themselves, "Oh, sakis, without taking shelter of a great devotee, our desires will never be fulfilled. We have heard from Gagi, the daughter of Gagamuni, about the glories of Hari's devotees, and that Govardhan Hill is the best amongst them. Therefore, let us go there today, bathe in Manasa Ganga, and take darshan of Harideva, the presiding deity of that place. Certainly, even our elders will not object to this. Moreover, Krishna is playing on the slope of Govardhan Hill, which is really their mind, what's on their mind. They just want to go to Krishna. No, how could anyone object if we go to Giriraj? Because everyone goes to Giriraj. They walk past there on their way here and there selling the milk products. The cows are always grazing there. Very central place, the Tilak marking of Braja. So who could complain if we go to Giriraj, bathe in Manasaganga, darshan of Harideva, and then by chance Krishna happens to be herding the cows on Govardhan Hill. More or less every day Krishna would go to Govardhan Hill. He's playing on the slopes of Giriraj Govardhan. Deciding upon this plan, the gopis glorify Govardhan Hill because it fulfills the desires of Krishna, his companions, and hopefully will fulfill their desire to meet Krishna as well. Then all their anxieties will be finished if they somehow can only get to see Krishna and meet. This is Purvarag, remember. This is before they've actually met Krishna. The desire to be with Krishna has awoken in their hearts so strongly, Krishna has already stolen their hearts. When he first comes back from the Vrindavan forest, immediately thievery is occurring. And then ever since then, they're just thinking, oh, when can we be with Krishna? When we, all of them, all each and every one of them, when can we be with Krishna? So their hearts are burning in this. And then Krishna, to excite that still further, he plays his flute and breaks down the walls of their any remaining seeming religious restrictions. He breaks that down with the mighty weapon of the sounding of his venu. There are three chief Haridas, devotees of Lord Hari, mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yudhisthira Maharaj, Uddhava, and Giriraj Govardhan. First, Yudhisthira is described, Haridas Rajarse Rajasuya Mahodayan Naivaptyan Prasaman Prasam Shanta Pivan Martyo Amritam Yata, from the Bhagavatam. As they all glorified the wonderful Rajasuya Yajna performed by that great saintly king and servant of Lord Hari, Yudhisthira, they were not satiated, just as an ordinary man is never satiated when drinking nectar. Bhagavatam 10:75-27, description of the Rajasuya sacrifice. The second Haridas mentioned in the Bhagavatam is Uddhava. He is described Saridvana Giridronir Vikshankusamitam Durmam Krishnam Samsmayan Reme Haridaso Vajokasham. That servant of Lord Hari, Uddhava, Haridasa, seeing the rivers, forests, mountains, valleys, and flowering trees of Braja, enjoyed inspiring the inhabitants of Vrindavan by reminding them of Krishna. That's the only way to inspire them, by reminding them of Krishna. So that's 10:47-56 when Uddhava is in Vrindavan. Of the three servants of Hari, of those who are mentioned as Haridas, the present verse states that Govardhan is Haridas of Arjo, the best. From the touch of why? Why is he the best? Because he's most intimately connected with Vrindavan. Yudhisthira doesn't come to Vrindavan. Uddhava came for a short time. But Giriraj was always serving in Vrindavan. And the Braja service is considered the best. And he's serving everyone, not serving Krishna directly, but serving everyone connected with Krishna. From the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, the rocks of Govardhan become as soft as mud in order to preserve the unique marks of Krishna's feet, such as the gold flag and thunderbolt. Contacting Krishna's lotus feet causes Giriraj to display symptoms of ecstasy, the pramoda. such as perspiration in the form of melting stones, hair standing on end as erect blades of grass, and tears of love as gushing waterfalls. This verse describes the sweet opulence of Govardhan Hill. Paniya refers to the fragrant, cool water gushing from Govardhan's waterfalls, which Krishna and Balaram drink and use to wash their feet and mouths. Govardhan also offers tasty beverages such as honey, mango juice, and pilu juice. Suyavas refers to dova grass used in making ritualistic hand wash, argya. The word suyavas also refers to Govardhan's soft and succulent grasses, which nourish the cows and therefore increase milk production. Krishna, Balaram, and the boys play, sit, and lie down in Govardhan's many caves, kandara, which give pleasure when the weather is too hot or cold, or when it rains. Govardhan also offers soft edible roots, jewels, to decorate the body. Has anyone ever seen any jewels at Giriraj? They certainly do. The Giriraj Shilas, Govardhan Shilas, look like jewels, was the comment of Hari. One time I saw a crystal, completely crystal Giriraj. It was completely white and like crystal. I was just sitting somewhere and I was just putting my hand in the sand and there was a crystal Giriraj there. And you know what I did with it?
You left it there.
I did. And I've seen at one of the Govardhan retreats, one of the devotees, Sri Radharaman, found a Giriraj that was completely round like a ball and had markings on it, like footprints, but it was completely round like a ball, and he put it in a very secret place to see if it would be there when he came back next year, and it was gone. I guess it had rolled away. The Giriraj is so amazing, and there's very dark Girirajas and golden ones.
Archamonti Mataji, she brought me to a Shila in just opposite the temple, the palace, the Iskon palace, near opposite. And if you rub it with your fingers, it gives kumkum.
Yeah. Asta Sakishila.
It's normal to look at, but you just rub it like this and it gives kumkum. Unbelievable.
And then there is some places where that the rocks have the markings of Krishna's lotus feet, too. I know one place. Krishna's feet, calf prints, and Kattori prints, and stick footprints. Krishna's toes up, resting like this in Tribhanga with his other foot down. Have you seen that? What will you do then? You're thinking about what to do, but don't think too long. There's more in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Mirrors in the form of smooth stones, jewels to decorate the body. Externally, the phrase Rama Gopai means Balaram. The gopis use this phrase to hide their feelings for Krishna. However, for the gopis, Rama refers to Krishna, who is Ramaniya, charming and attractive, and Ramanam, the source of intimate enjoyment. By the touch of Krishna's feet, such joy springs up in their hearts. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when we say Hari Rama, we only mean Radhika Raman. That's what comes. But of course, when others think of Rama as Lord Ram, Ramachandra, or Parsaram, or Dalji or Balaram, then that is fine.
Who's that now?
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Sometimes he let out, the inside came outside. Mm-hmm. Then next verse, this is the final verse that they're saying. Ga gopakar anuvanam niyatorudara venam svana kalapadai tanubritsisakka aspandanam gatimatam pulakastarunam. Now that's really amazing. This is the effect, describing the effect of Krishna's flute. Aspandanam gatimatam. This is the effect of Krishna's flute. And here we are, not able to go to Krishna. Ga gopakar anuvanam nayatorada udara. Ga, go, the cows, gopakaya, and the cowherd boys, anuvanam. Krishna is leading niyata, the cows and the cowherd boys, from one far. This is what they're meditating on all day long. They're able to see Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, Krishna's actually there. He can't stay away from them because their meditation upon him is so deep. They have him captured in his heart. It's so loving. It's so possessive of him. And it's so ekanishta, fixed upon him and nothing else. He's as in their meditation, he's actually there. So this is what they're meditating upon. This is one of the pastimes that they're seeing. They're seeing Krishna at the Govardhan Hill with the cowherd boys and everything, playing his flute and playing on the slopes of the hill as boys love to play, herding the cows. He's seeing the river, they're seeing the rivers offering, they're seeing the peacocks dancing, the birds in the topmost branches of the trees, struck with wonder, their heads tilted to the side, their eyes closed and their talons gripping the branches so tightly so that they don't fall off in their ecstasy. They're seeing the cows with the uttabitakana ears raised high, capturing the nectar of the flute. They're seeing the calves stunned with the milk dripping from their mouth. This is all the effect of the flute. They're seeing the river Yamuna offer lotus flowers with their waves and their whirlpools indicating the depths of their emotions. So in Krishna, they're also seeing this. They're also seeing Krishna wandering from forest to forest, just playing with the boys, playing with his flute, dressed in his amazingly charming way. Venam, vena, venusvanar, kalapadaya, kalapadaya, having the sweet padas, the sweet tones, vibrating his flute. The last two verses didn't directly mention the flute, but here, Krishna wandering forest to forest, just filling up the holes of the flute with the nectar emanating from his lips, and the flute music drifting all over Vrindavan, attracting the hearts, the minds of every living entity. Kalatanobritsyasaka. All friends, just see the power of this flute. Aspandanam gatimatam. Those entities that can't move start moving. Like the trees start erupting in ecstasy and giving forth new branches and twigs. This is the effect of Krishna's flute upon them. The non-moving entities start moving. And the moving entities, and another non-moving entity, or a moving entity like the river Yamuna, it becomes stunned, doesn't move, freezes over in its ecstasy. Just some little indication of life by the waves on the top and the whirlpools of Arta Lakshita Manubhava Bhagnave Vega. This is the effect of hearing Krishna's flute. Krishna's flute is the udipan, the stimulant of the ecstasy. The riot makes the ecstasy that in all these creatures, persons, demigods, palindis, hearts just completely rise to the very topmost points of ecstasy. So the aspandanam gatimatam pulakas tarunam, pulaka, ecstatic jubilation, horripilation, the standing of hairs, the trees, blossom branches, twigs, and otherwise they're non-moving. The living entities who don't move start moving, and the living entities who move don't move. This is the effect of the trees. The birds stunned. Birds never are still for a moment. But when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they remain silent. They're always chirping, bouncing around, looking this way and that way. But when they hear of Krishna's flute, they're unmoving like sages. So this is the scene that the gopis are seeing and describing. They're meditating upon this for every moment while Krishna's not in the Vrindavan village. When he's out with the cows, they're just simply meditating. And how do they look? Niyoga pasha krita lakshanayor vachitram. They look wonderfully. These two, krita lakshanayor, they're wearing the ropes, because the cowherd boys always carry ropes, stick, vetram, venu, bhashana, sticks, ropes, bugles, and they also carry these ropes for binding the legs of the cows and tying them up sometimes, or calves and cows. So they carry ropes with them. And these ropes they have on top of their turbans like decorations. I don't think any of that, this picture had it. But sometimes you see that in the pictures, the painting, the ropes with different things hanging down. Yeah? That's what it is. Those are the ropes used for binding the cows and the calves. And Krishna places them on his turban. Why should he carry them with his two hands like that? And his turban, and everything that Krishna does is so artistic. Kalindi. So artistically and well done. And he wants to attract everyone's mind in Braja. And he's completely successful. So this is what the gopis are meditating upon. My dear friends, Gva Gopakar Anovanam Niyotora Dara. As Krishna and Balaram passed through the forest with their cowherd friends leading their cows, they carry ropes to bind the cow's rear legs at the time of milking. When Lord Krishna plays on his flute, the sweet music causes the moving living entities to become stunned, frozen. They cannot move due to the emotion welling up inside of them. And non-moving trees to tremble with ecstasy. These things are certainly wonderful. Vachitram. Oh, this is so wonderful. Purport. Krishna and Balaram would sometimes wear the cowherd ropes on their heads and sometimes carry them on their shoulders. And thus they were beautifully decorated with all the equipment of cowherd boys. Ankle bells decorated with the Dattura Pravala, the minerals of Govardhan. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the ropes of Krishna and Balaram are made of yellow cloth and have clusters of pearls at both ends. Sometimes they wear these ropes around their turbans, and the ropes thus become wonderful decorations. We'll read Srila Swami's comment, and then the Vishwanath's comment. Srila Swami says, "O friends, this is not so wonderful in comparison to what's going to be spoken now. The two of them, Rama and Krishna, who are grazing the cows from forest to forest in the company of the cowherd boys, by the vibrations of their great flute, whose tones are very sweet, amongst different bodies, those which are mobile." So this is, you think it's wonderful, all these other things. Even those things that are mobile become stunned. This is more wonderful. And they take the nature of immovable creatures. And the immovable entities like trees, their hairs stand on end, which is the nature of moving creatures. Jiva Vishwanath Chakraborty, take four comments. Furthermore, we should not delay in going to meet this flute player. Since he's following the cows, he may soon wander off to a distant place, Anuvanam. With this idea, the gopis speak this verse. Let us go now. Why are we holding back? How can we hold back? Our nature is to hold back because we're shy girls. But the flute changes the nature of all living entities. The trees, non-moving, become moving. So naturally, we're non-moving in this case. But let us move now by the power of the flute. To indicate that the cowherd boys were in the mood of serving Krishna, the syllable ka is added to the word gopikar, cowherd boys. Thus the word gopikar indicates that the boys were protecting gopayanti, Krishna, with love. Another indication of the word is that every morning they went with Krishna. Mother Yasoda brought them together for this purpose. While Krishna played the flute, they wandered from forest to forest herding the cows. This produced a very wonderful scene. What was so wonderful? When the moving living entities, Gati Matam, heard that flute sound, they became motionless, aspandanam. The non-moving trees adopted the qualities of humans and trembled in ecstasy. Nuyoga Pasha is a type of noose used to restrain calves at milking time. That rope, Niyoga Pasha, which had clusters of flowers and pearls at both ends, signified them as cowherd boys. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would tie that rope on their yellow silk turbans as stylish ornaments, Krita Lakshanayo. So then the final verse is a summary of what is going on. Evam vida bhagavato yavrindavanam charina. So thus, such is the activities of the Bhagavat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he's wandering, vrindavanam charina, wandering in the Vrindavan forest, herding the cows. So all within this, within these glorifications of the flute, are contained so many activities, pastimes of Krishna as he's herding the cows, wandering. And the gopis are simply and continuously meditating on these day in, day out. They're meditating on Krishna, they're meditating on his pastimes, his activities, his form, his qualities. They're sometimes talking to others, sometimes they're doing their household duties. But never is their mind on anything other than Krishna. So as they're doing this, Varnayanto Mito Gopya, so they're engaged, the gopis are engaged in describing this Mita amongst one another, Gopya. The gopis are engaged in talking like this amongst one another. Krida Tat Mayetam Yayu. And thus they attain full ecstatic meditation upon him. Translation. Thus narrating to one another the playful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he wandered about in the Vrindavan forest, the gopis became fully absorbed in thoughts of him. Raise your hand if you feel fortunate. Raise your hand if you feel unfortunate. I'm in an unfortunate mood. But it's so fortunate to feel unfortunate. And it's so fortunate to feel fortunate. We have to feel fortunate because if we don't feel fortunate hearing Krishna's pastimes, we will look for our fortune elsewhere. And if we don't feel unfortunate in the midst of that fortune, then then we won't go further. Here is purport. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada comments, this is the perfect example of Krishna consciousness. To somehow or other remain always engrossed in thoughts of Krishna. The vivid example is always present in the behavior of the gopis. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya declared that no one can worship the Supreme Lord by any method that is better than the method of the gopis. The gopis were not born in very high Brahmana or Kshatriya families. They were born in the families of Vaishyas and not in big mercantile communities, but in the families of coward men. They were not very well educated, although they heard all sorts of knowledge from the Brahmanas, the authorities of Vedic knowledge. The gopis' only purpose was to remain always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Thus in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled, The Gopis Glorify the Song of Krishna's Flute. Now we shall hear the comment of Srila Sanatana Goswami on this verse. Thus the gopis related these and many other activities of Krishna's, but of how many of them can I speak? Thus summarizing, Sukadeva Goswami speaks the verse beginning Evam. Bhagavan Mayatam means always being absorbed in chanting about hearing about Him, chanting and hearing about Him. Or else it means experiencing the ecstasy of meditating upon Him. Or else it means that they were absorbed in His pastimes, always being engaged in playing with Him. Or else the word tat is used here because of the particular distress of the blazing fire of ecstatic love has arisen within them. And if His name were to be taken directly, then just as previously the gopis would have become supremely agitated because of the rising of the burden of love. The word gopya indicates that this is simply their nature, and thus because in all circumstances, they're enriched with the opulence of pure love of Godhead. They are by all measures the most fortunate. So the gopis were always and only thinking about Krishna. And how were they thinking about Him? They weren't just meditating on Him. They were meditating on Him, but they weren't satisfied just meditating on the beauty of His form. Rather, their desire was to serve Him. And they felt that they were unable to serve Him. And this was the cause of their greatest distress. They could never be with Krishna. Why? Because they were young girls and he was a young boy. And because they were married and he was not their husband. So they had no ability to serve him. Well, many of them were married at this time. They had no ability or facility to be with him. They had no ability or facility to have pastimes with him. And this, because of their love, was intolerable for them. Their hearts had been taken from Him, and Krishna was continuously, by His ways of looking at them, they were exchanging sidelong glances continuously. Others, great devotees, Jiva Goswami says, great devotees think that, oh, how wonderful it would be to achieve the glance of Krishna. But the gopis perceived the glances of Krishna as weapons that were attacking them. Weapons that were attacking them and weapons that they had no defense for. When Krishna would glance at them with a sidelong glance, it would pierce their armor and they would have to hide. They would retreat. But they were always thinking, they were so shy, they were always thinking, how can we serve Krishna? They were thinking, but not only thinking, they were praying always. So starting in the next chapter, another chapter that centers on Krishna's dealings with the gopis, the first intimate exchange between Krishna and the gopis is going to be described. When finally, Krishna gives them some of his association. And it's a very, Krishna is at his naughtiest here. So we shall hear about that, not tomorrow, but Wednesday. We shall complete that chapter if Krishna allows. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
So, before we have the break...
What break?
12.
Before we had the break, yes.
We did verse 17, and the last comment you made, which I think was Vishwanatha, but I'm not sure, mentioned that...
Which verse number?
17.
Yes.
That... Krishna did embrace the gopis, but we're talking about poor
Varag. Yeah.
How did he come to that?
Well, also, we were hearing that he was embracing them, even while they were in this mood of separation. So I can't answer that question. And some of the acharyas say that the rasa dance wasn't the first time Krishna danced with the gopis or anything, but somehow or another, I can't answer that question directly.
So I have two technical questions. What is this pilu ras and
pilu? Pilu.
Pilu juice.
Pilu juice. Pilu juice from a pilu tree. It's those trees that you see around that really hang down, as far as I understand. You know those ones that are really low and humble looking?
Uh-huh.
You see them in Govardhan and places, you see them in the Mansarov. I think they're reddish and little. And these are the fruits that... Is there any pilu fruit expert here? But these are the fruits that when the devotees came back from, maybe Jagannanda came back from Vrindavan to the association of Mahaprabhu, they brought pilu fruits for the devotees. And it describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that some of the devotees didn't know how to eat them because they're a fruit from this part of the country as opposed to Bengal. And they chewed them and it wasn't how you eat them. And there's a very, very hot burning sensation when you chew them. So I'm not sure what season they.
The summer.
Summer. That's what I was going to guess.
It's when all of us have ways in the middle of the
year. That's a question for Dina Bandhu Prabhu.
Is it at the Telkadamba? Isn't it the tree of Telkadamba, the womb one?
Those aren't. Yeah, they also come down like that. Those are very old ones. You don't have internet connection right now. You could look in Wikipedia for pilu fruits. Find out the Latin name for them. Piluus fruitinus.
My last question was, did somebody find out what Vasudev's other name,
sorry.
It's the name of Lord Vishnu.
Huh? Not a name of...
It's the name of Vishnu also. The Sanskrit name is Kaya Arborea or Salvadora Persica.
Yeah. That's Pilu. No pictures though.
It's the name of the Lord Vishnu.
That's
the
name.
So why don't you look up sorry?
I looked it up, it's the name of Vishnu.
Krishna isn't not a name of Vasudev?
No, it's
Sari's. Name.
It's the name of Krishna.
Yeah. What does it mean? Okay. It has a derivation that's pretty simple.
It's the name of Surya. Surya.
Maybe we should ask Harisar. Maybe he knows what it means.
In 10:39:16, it's mentioned it's the name of Krishna. Surya.
Surya meaning?
That is the of Krishna. Surya of Krishna.
I've recently seen, but recently, not recently enough to remember it.
Oftentimes it's called Shoya, many times in the
any other questions? Yes, comments?
Yes, I was wondering why these three have been chosen particularly out of all the servants of the Yudhishthira, Madhavananda.
Because of their unique positions of servants. But they're the ones that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam as Haridas. Perhaps Lord Shiva.
Like Arjuna, Arjuna is also such a good
position.
And so many of them.
And so many.
Yeah.
But this is the. So you could also say, why is Giriraj considered? But this is the vision of the gopis, Srimati Radharani, in that case. Seeing Giriraj so fortunate, there are more esoteric reasons why she's what they're specifically talking about. Why Giriraj is seen as the best of servants. So is your question why is Giriraj the best of servants or why the others are mentioned?
No, I understand that Giriraj must have a special place there. But,
no, but not...
Why are Yudhishthira amongst others? Why them two?
Why those two?
Those two.
Yes. Because other than the fact that those are the two mentioned by Sukadeva in different parts of the Bhagavatam as Haridas. But others have other names. But Uddhava is considered the best of the Yadavas. That's clear. And Yudhisthira Maharaj is the chief of the Pandavas. Arjuna is, Krishna says that I'm Arjuna. I can't really answer that.
Is there any Shastra that describes the love of Krishna for the gopis? Because we hear the gopis' love for Krishna, but on Krishna's side, is there any description?
This is all description of.
But from Krishna's side?
From Krishna's side also.
Okay. Will it be any chapter?
But this is all, so much of this is on Krishna's side.
Well, today, I mean, the whole chapter now is on Gopi's side.
Yes and no. Because Krishna is playing his flute.
But where Krishna expresses his love, like now they express their love to Krishna. Is there such chapters in the Bhagavatam or elsewhere that describes where Krishna in words describes his love?
Only in the words of the acharyas in the Naparyaham.
Oh,
in other places, but especially there. He says, there he says, and especially the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That's, what is it, the 32nd chapter. At the end, the last few verses in the 32nd, he explains how you have defeated me. Completely defeated me. Your love for me is so powerful that it has left me forever in your debt and I cannot repay you. And the gopis don't accept that. They say, Krishna's so kind and we're so bad. He places them highest and they place him highest. Their love for him is pure. But the whole Bhagavatam is about that. How we know about Krishna's love is through
through the devotees and how Krishna is dealing with his devotees. Look what he's doing with the cows. Isn't that about Krishna's love? If you remember that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have to go into Aishwarya mood. To think that he's the all-pervading absolute truth. And look how he's dealing with these beloved devotees of his. So does that say something about his love? But it's not as direct. If one says to another, I love you, that doesn't say very much, because words, talk is cheap, as they say. And there's another English saying, actions speak louder than words. So Krishna's actions throughout the whole Bhagavatam, especially here in the 10th canto, they're all about his love. In the first canto, in the 11th chapter, in the chapters right at the end of the 11th chapter, when Krishna is entering Dwarka, the queens act in a particular way towards Krishna, and the purports there are very important, and they describe how Krishna is just reciprocating with the way that these personages wish to love him. He's captivated by the love. The fact that Krishna appears, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, when the gopis are meditating on him so deeply in their love, that he's there embracing them, even though it's not directly spoken about. What does that mean?
Implicitly.
Implicitly. It's telling of Krishna's dealings with his devotees. Atma Pajanta Vedanyata. So that's what the whole book is about. That Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's the supreme lover of his devotees. Bhakta Vatsalya Pajanta Vedanyata. But he says, you have defeated me. Mayulavi explicitly speaks like this at the end of that 32nd chapter. But how, when two devotees, later on in the Bhagavatam, when two devotees, was it Bahulasva and the other great person? Who?
The king of
Mithila. Yeah. Shrutadev. They both want to seek. Now how is Krishna going to deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
So he divides up into two Krishnas. Is that any? And all the sages also divide up by Krishna's power. Is that an expression of how Krishna deals with his love for his devotees? When later on, when the gopis want to dance with Krishna, and Krishna expands himself, and each gopi is thinking, Krishna's only with me. Isn't that an expression? How are they? Because Krishna is enchanting them.
Also, when Mahaprabhu enters the dust vein manufactured by Nisinga Brahmachari. Nisinga Brahmachari is in meditation and he meditates on a dust vein made of diamonds leading to certain destination, and he invites Mahaprabhu on that pathway in his mind, and Mahaprabhu enters.
And then he couldn't invite him past Kanai Natsala, and he said he's not coming.
Yes.
He couldn't bring him past that point.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. But there's so much about that, even some Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva was mixed in his devotion, he was Sakam. And Krishna Gopa, the Lord came to him. The Lord came through Chitraketu, through Angira and Narada, and brought him to such an exalted point. So doesn't that say something about Krishna and how he deals with his devotees? How about Ambarish Maharaj? Lord Narayan wouldn't take away the Sudarshan Chakra from following, trying to Rasa Muni. He said, no, my devotees are more powerful than me. Again and again. Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. Krishna protects Arjuna from Asatama, he protects Parikit Maharaj. And then you see that with Krishna's ways of dealing are very tricky always. So he protected Parikit Maharaj from the Brahmastra, but he couldn't protect him from the curse of the Brahmin boy. So he has his own ways. He protected him by giving him the Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Krishna, because Dorano Kodanodita, these pastimes of Krishna rise like the sun to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. Protected Ajamil in the form of?
Ajamil in the form of sending the
holy name.
His holy name?
So doesn't that say something about Krishna too? We could go through the cantos one by one and see how Krishna reveals his personality. He's bringing us, he's telling us so many things, so we're ready to meet him personally when he brings us into his inner chambers in Vrindavan in Canto 10. But you can keep that, that's a good question to keep in mind always, and as we read the Bhagavatam, we can see how it reveals Krishna. Because only the devotees know Krishna. If Krishna talks about himself, it's not the way to learn about Krishna, because it's not good to talk about yourself. Right? It's not considered proper etiquette. So Krishna doesn't talk about himself, and that's one of the reasons why this particular pastime takes place, narrated as the Venugita, is so that we hear about Krishna and his beauty and his charming and enchantingness through the mouths of those who are charmed and mystified by him. Otherwise we can't know about Krishna. If you want to see the glories of Vrindavan, you come to Vrindavan, and if you don't know anything about Krishna even if you know something about Krishna, you come and all you'll see is open sewage, crowds, people trying to cheat you. But if you hear about Vrindavan through someone who has a taste for Vrindavan, then Vrindavan opens up for you. So the way we learn about Vrindavan is through a person who has some relationship with Vrindavan. The way we learn about Krishna's love is through those who love Krishna. We learn about about the incredible way that Krishna deals with his devotees in the Damodar pastime. The Mother Yasoda defeats him. We learn about the incredible way that Krishna deals with his devotees in the Agasura pastime, when Yogamaya takes the side of the devotees. So that's also under Krishna's dealings. But Krishna is very mysterious. We have to approach him the road that he has laid for us, through bhakti.
The gopis are fortunate too. There's a rich song, Chichya or Chanch pe Nach Nachari. Chichya is small glass, Chanch is Paramilk, and Nach is dance. So the gopis will tell Krishna that we'll give you a small glass of buttermilk, but you'll have to dance first. And you'll dance, and then they will give you a glass of buttermilk.
Now what does that say?
That
Krishna really wanted the buttermilk?
No, it's because of love of gopis.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Why was he stealing always then, if he wasn't just greedy for buttermilk and things?
Maybe
the boss is
naughty, not, I mean,
he
was a naughty boy.
But why is he a naughty boy?
They put those things there just because they expected him to come and were hoping and praying that he would come and steal those things.
And why did they put them there? So they want. Why did they want him to do that? They wanted to watch this little naughty, cunning little boy. He was so clever. Just, and then what? And how did Krishna reciprocate with their desire to enjoy the childhood pastimes of Krishna? By completely conforming to their desire in a wonderful way that was beyond anyone's expectations. They wanted to see naughty Krishna, and Krishna acted more naughty than they could imagine. It was. So this is Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees. See, there's two ways to look at it. So now we have to pull out the Aishwarya vision to answer that question. We have to see that this is the Supreme Lord just simply reciprocating with his devotees in such a way that their ecstasy increases. But that type of vision is not the way that the gopis see. And even when they see in that way, it comes up and then it goes away very quickly. When the gopis see Krishna in, see Uddhava in the forests, the isolated forest near Nandagram, They say, don't tell us about your glossary material. Don't tell him. He's so cruel. We know all about him. We know more about him than you. Don't tell us anything. In his previous birth, he was Lord Ram, and he was cruelly killed. He was a Kshatriya, but he cruelly killed. Who was it? The Bali. So that means that they were. And he was Vamandev. Look what he did as Vamandev. Bali was trying to just, you know, be charitable, and he took everything from him. Please, you know, I'll give you what you want. And then they take everything from him. What kind of... We don't want to hear about him anymore. So that means they were aware of his... this is the different incarnations. They were aware of that, but it didn't mean anything to them. Their love is so great that they capture him and they make him dance for buttermilk. They make the all-powerful Supreme Lord dance for buttermilk. That certainly says something about the all-powerful Supreme Lord. It means that there's something more powerful than him. And what is that thing that's more powerful than him? Don't say. Don't say.
His name.
So this is the God that we're dealing with. He's controlled only by love. This is the unique contribution of Mahaprabhu to show the extent of how love, of the extent that Krishna, God, the Supreme Absolute Truth, can be controlled by his devotees' love. But it has to be a particular type of love. It has to be selfless. It has to be so dense and thick. It has to be so intimate. It has to be not general, it has to be specific in one of the rasas. And then this absolute truth, this all-powerful, inconceivably powerful, who's maintaining cosmos after cosmos after with angsa, just this fragment of its power, he dances for buttermilk. So it's important to keep this in mind as we go into the next chapter too, because he's going to steal the clothes of the gopis. I mean, how naughty. What can one say? So we have to keep in mind that they're loving him completely and he's loving them completely. They're desiring to love him in a particular way, and he is reciprocating with that love in such a way that their love explodes like a volcano. And that's Krishna's expertise, because love means ecstasy. Love causes ecstasy, one could say. So Krishna is playing the hearts of all the residents of Vrindavan in such a way that their ecstasy explodes continuously in all the different leelas, pastimes that he's performing, are made to explode continuously the love of the residents of Vrindavan. He's captivated by that. He wants it, and he's the main player in it, and he's the vishaya, the object of everyone's love. And they are the asraya, the shelter, the ocean of love, and he is the object of love. And the interplay between those two create the rasa. And Krishna is rasa-rasa, he is the master of this. And the Leela-maya is meant to facilitate that. So that's what we see. So we see Krishna's enjoyment, but we see that this supreme enjoyer, his enjoyment is giving the enjoyment to everyone else. And that's his pleasure. And this is the fault of modern so-called contemporary civilization, is that everyone wants the pleasure for me. And everyone knows that that doesn't give you pleasure. That the pleasure is given by helping others, by giving it to others. Everyone knows this. But Kali Yuga society just turns everything upside down. And the more it's turned upside down, the more dissatisfied people become. And the more people are dissatisfied, the more they think, oh, I don't have enough pleasure, I need more pleasure for me. And the more they've centered on their own pleasure, the more dissatisfied they become, in more tamaguni ways. So, Prabhupada's mission, Mahaprabhu's mission, the mission of all so many kind-hearted Vaishnavas is too simple. Reverse all of Kali Yuga. That's all. So we have our little parts to play in that. Well, there are some great devotees who have great parts to play, but we have our little parts to play. So let us play our little parts very well. So know what our service is. We can't get the whole picture. No one has the whole picture, only Krishna has the whole picture. So in our short lives, let us find out what our service is and make our offerings with devotion. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakti ki jai.